Hi, Marian. How are you doing?
Hi, Jonas. Great.
What are you guys up to and what company are you with here?
I'm from Amodo. I'm the CEO of Amodo Company. We are a Croatian company based in Zagreb. And we are active in the domain of usage-based insurance since 2013.
So what exactly is it that you guys are doing? So usage-based insurance, what's that?
Well, you know, the users are more and more expecting personalized products, personalized services. And in order for insurance company to be able to deliver personalized products and services, they simply need to learn more personal information about the users themselves. And what we developed is actually a technology that extracts behavioral and usage data from smartphone sensors, and in that way gives valuable insights to insurance companies that can in exchange offer personalized usage-based insurance products.
So that is, for example, if I was driving in a car and if I had an accident, then my sensors from my smartphone could sort of infer or kind of create or analyze, understand how I've been driving before and how I've been driving in the past, and whether my driving styles going forward are causing issues or more risky than normal.
Absolutely. Actually, biggest part of our deployments are in the domain of, as we call it in the industry, pay how you drive or pay per mile.
Right.
Everything is smartphone based only. There are no needs for any devices, SIM cards, that's considered to be a legacy technology. And we deliver these solutions based on a smartphone only. However, we also see the recent market trends going in a direction of using this data for the home insurance and other P&C insurance products as well.
So how would that work with home insurance and P&C in general?
Well, you know, the beauty of a smartphone is that it can collect the data. It really connects the insurance company with the user, whereas the telematics boxes are connecting the insurance companies with the car, essentially.
Interesting. Yeah.
And as much as it gives, in some respects, more reliable data coming directly from the car because it's a fixed box inside and it can, to a certain extent, improve the reliability of the data, smartphone really is leaving with the user even when the user leaves the car. And for that reason, we can collect the data about the user behavior even after he leaves the car and do the risk exposure assessment of other risks usually covered by other insurance policies based on a user behavior.
So the question, what are those other policies, for example?
It very much depends on the market. It very much depends on the regulation. But what we see now in the Asian market is that there is a surge of new home insurance products that are giving you a significantly discounted pricing in case you spend more than 3 days working from home. The nature of claim frequency and claim size, depending on whether you're in home or working from the office, is different. And they are adjusting their premiums and prices based on that information. However, it's a very new thing, and for that reason, usually the insurance companies, in a case of a claim, require an employer to give a confirmation of a certain time spent in the home rather than in the office.
Right.
And this is something that clearly comes with a certain liability. At this stage, employers are not willing to issue, and therefore the whole ecosystem is kind of lagging behind due to this fact. However, with our technology, we can provide the necessary proof to enable such insurance products.
And what other examples are out there that we could talk about for personal liability insurance or anything? Is there something that makes sense in terms of smartphone data? What other examples do we have?
Okay, there are two main domains for which this data is being used. And it definitely depends on regulation, but it also depends on the technology maturity, and it depends on the market awareness and sensitivity to data privacy. But generally, we see that this data can be also used and is used, as we are currently deploying one European project in that direction, to determine the lifestyle-associated risks. Lifestyle in terms of where are your whereabouts, where do you move, how much do you move, what kind of a transportation mode do you use, and what kind of additional insurance coverage can be provided based on this information. I think the most visual example of that is a YAS company from Hong Kong that actually covers your running. You have a certain, you know, running patterns that you want to secure or insure or cover for a certain period of time, and any kind of an accident covered with that policy is covered for the duration while you run if this information about your running has been collected by the technology.
And the pricing is then depending on how much am I running and if I'm running at all or if I'm doing bungee jumping or parachuting or something.
Absolutely. It's a mere example of microinsurance, of niche products. Nonetheless, we see that emerging on the market. It's definitely on the very early stage of its evolution. However, we see that everything is converging into the direction where insurance companies and the end user can benefit clearly from that, want to understand the full set of risk exposure of the users, and based on that, tailor the whole portfolio offering, not only one product. They're not thinking anymore in terms of one product, but it really becomes user centralized to understand what is needed to cover Jonas to the fullest extent in your living with the insurance.
And you guys are here today to talk to insurers and see whether there's any appetite to implement your solution, right?
Absolutely, yes. We do that. I mean, we deployed already more than 45 projects globally. So in that area, we can offer quite some know-how and experience. But we know that every market has its own specific. And one of the specific things about the German market is clearly the data privacy. So right. Unless there is a very clear value proposition for the end user and benefit, they are not willing to exchange the data. Because we are not talking about, and I think that's a very important term in this industry, it's not about giving the data to an insurance company. It really comes down to exchanging the data in exchange for the value, right?
So how does Zagreb and Croatia fit into the picture? So why are you guys based over there? And do you have any strategic advantage that you can only have over there, specific labor costs or whatever reason, developers, anything that people can't have here?
There are quite a few strategic disadvantages.
Okay.
Because of the size of the whole market, maturity of the whole end user market, penetration of the life insurance
product. And that's why you're looking outward in different markets.
Absolutely, right? Absolutely. Generally, we are much more present outside of the Croatian market, given the size. We have projects in Austria with Porsche Insurance. In Asia, we are very closely collaborating with AIG. In North America, South America. So actually everywhere. And just this year, for the first time in the 8 years of our existence, we launched two projects in Croatia. And one of them, I have to say, is both of them are very advanced. And I'm very proud of being part of those projects. But one in particular, I think, might be relevant for the German market, which is why I would maybe highlight that one, which is the project we do with Unica International. It's a smartphone only based pay-per-mile project where the pricing is done very similar to telecom business models. Like you prepay a certain number of kilometers and you have a full casco only while you say, I want to activate my full casco and I want to deactivate my full casco with the smartphone only. So it's not anymore a vision or a story or a capability or a potential. It's a living project in Croatia we do with Unica International.
And speaking of starting in a small country, what I found is that if you are as a startup founder or a company founder or whatever, starting in a small company, you are immediately forced to think outside of this country and are forced to internationalize more so than people starting in Germany, because the German market is large enough to sustain a certain number of businesses, but then again, is not large enough to have like a global large company. So while companies started in small countries, are forced to internationalize earlier and focus on international and global markets early on and sort of built this into the DNA, companies in Germany don't have that from the beginning and only need to develop it in order to continue growing. You know what I mean? And do you see that as well, that this is an advantage of a small country that you have to internationalize quicker?
Absolutely. I mean, we are considered to be born global.
Yeah, exactly.
Out of necessity.
Exactly.
And this, let's say, lack of comfort or lack of strategic advantage in the global market and the limitation can be considered as very motivating for companies in such working in such environment or context to immediately, as you said, expand globally. So from that perspective, assuming you have a capability to evolve beyond this limitation, it can be considered as an advantage.
Thanks, Marian, for this conversation.
Thank you, Jonas.